Hey,
what's up, haters?
What's up, haters? What are you showing?
To anybody who owns a studio, these are things. If you can look on the podcast,
is there a cable holder?
Ties, but you can unhook them again, so they like you hook the cables together.
And then is you that can the life unhook hack? It, eh?
So for the rest, everything is going okay, Jopke.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to this week.
The highlight of the day for it.
Yeah.
Now, I always have shit lying around, like guitar picks, and I'm always messing around, especially during the podcast. I need something to do with my
I have this guy.
Dino boy.
Dino.
It's that's 3D true. Printed, guys.
That's
like,
cool.
It moves, but it was printed like this, all in attached to each other. Bam. Technology, dude.
But is there an NFT of it?
Yeah. Huh?
Is there an NFT of it?
If you like, and you can buy it also.
I saw Jake Paul's or Logan Paul, either one of the two. They had bought one for 650,000, an NFT in like 2021 or so, and it's now worth $10.
Ralph,
he's gone.
Mike.
Ralph's gone again.
Ralph.
Working.
Yeah, no, it's not working.
Wrong mic now.
Oh, man. I hate this program. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah.
No, you're way too loud.
Am I too loud? Then I go like this, chillax a little bit.
No. Just turn it. If you can turn it down a bit, because otherwise the difference between Joey and you.
I don't think he can. He can.
Yeah, you can on the right.
No, but not, like... not during the recording, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
This, like this.
It doesn't affect the recording, so it only affects the live call. So it's on the right. You can like drag.
Yeah, I already turned it down a nudge like this. La, 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 la. Test. Yeah, is this okay?
That's good.
This is better.
Amazing.
Oh, you're doing it for me, Joey.
Yeah, I do it for you. Fuck off.
You hacker, you.
Yeah. Anyways, how's your week been?
Woo.
How's your week been, Joey? Hey, how was your week?
It's been pretty great, actually. We were talking about it before, like briefly, but I had a really nice weekend, like spring vibes, short pants, barbecuing, lots of parties. So,
hot pants?
Hot pants, yeah.
Nice.
Tight pants.
You guys don't wear hot pants? No?
Okay. Tight pants only.
I do, sometimes.
Nice.
Late at night.
Yeah. But it's been a great weekend, and now, it's pouring at the moment, actually.
Yeah, the weather has turned to shit again in Holland.
Oh,
it was super nice. I was also working in the garden this weekend.
Not golfing?
No, not golfing. I went this morning to the driving range, and it was very fun.
He's a nice weather girl golfer. They're the worst.
I went this morning to the driving range with 5 degrees Celsius in the rain, so...
Yeah, you're a tough one, Jopke.
Hopefully we all can be as tough as you.
Yeah. Exactly.
When we go to war, we send you first.
No, I won't be drafted because I'm diabetic, so...
Still, hey,
can't be drafted.
If you really want to, you can.
I'll watch all the wives here.
Operation Human Shield.
Oh, I watch all the wives. Look at him go, playboy. Hey,
yeah, you can
Jay Hardway. That's now I get it.
Jay Hardway. It took us exactly 4 minutes before it turned dark.
Actual reference game.
Are we
I didn't make
only
it.
Fans again, or
yeah, exactly. Okay. Did anyone watch Coachella?
I didn't even know Coachella was this weekend
until
all the Grimes stuff showed up on my timeline, which was hilarious.
But what was the exact thing? Because I saw one clip, I think.
There's this DJ, Grimes. She's the ex-wife of Elon Musk. Not that that matters, but I didn't know who she was until this weekend. No disrespect, but I just didn't know.
Just didn't care.
And then I saw she was playing Coachella. And apparently, during her set, there's videos of this, it went wrong. Apparently, something with Record Box, where all of her tracks were suddenly double tempo. And so the sync button on the CDJ the sync button didn't work as she expected, and panicked, and she screamed through the mic and said, "I can't solve this," and basically messed up her whole Coachella set. And she's getting a lot of hate now because
I couldn't even watch the whole clip.
Damn. No, yeah, it's cringe. It's very cringe.
What do you think is cringe about? Like, I'm trying to understand.
Well, I'm wondering, like, where is the stage manager or someone from her team that says, "Hey, shut it off for 5 minutes, figure out what's wrong, and we continue." Instead of she's just there standing there,
but it was screaming
to the mic. And
yeah, I saw a video. I mean, if you have something half tempo, let's say 75 beats per minute, and the other one is 150, and it detects the BPM. If you then do sync the track and the half tempo goes to 150, it doubles the tempo and you cannot go back. I've seen a video on this.
Yeah.
You should reset the whole shit, take out your SD card or USB, whatever, and go back and don't use that sync button if you don't need to. Yeah.
Yeah. But was the problem that the software was malfunctioning, or that she just didn't know how to deal
with it? It's kind of a bug of Rekordbox that it doubles tempos of tracks where it doesn't realize, like Ralph said, it is the same tempo, but it's like when you mesh up samples, you know you can divide it to half and have the same.
I mean, 75 is the same tempo as 150, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she apparently is very dependent on the sync function of the CDJs, which is fine. I think if you DJ with sync on, amazing, you do you. But then when it doesn't work, you have to know, especially on that level, you have
you
to know
rely
how
on
to
technology
mix by ear.
Too much. You should know the basics behind it, the theory. I mean, it's your profession, and you need to know the basics.
But this is the thing that I was always scared of, but like the technology was not even that far back then. But like as soon as we started playing with USBs, I was like, a lot of shit can go wrong here, you know? Like of course shit can go wrong with CDs as well or with vinyl, but with USBs, I really was uncomfortable. I always had this backup USB with me.
Still do.
Like it's
too bad too. I mean prepared for have a contingency plan, and I never could grasp the idea that somebody went to a show with one USB. It can malfunction. I mean, they're cheap stuff things, and you should have a backup.
And apparently, she outsourced her Rekordbox, meaning someone else organized her tracks for her in Rekordbox, which is like. Yeah, I don't even know what exactly to compare it with, but that's unheard of. You know, that's your job. You should be the master of your whatever tool you use. If you have a guitar, you need to know like when a string breaks, what to do, or when
people sometimes
out of tune.
DJs don't do shit and they just press a button, but they actually
this
do.
This is
stuff.
What happens. Yeah. This is what happens when you just press a button. Yeah, you see Grimes. So next time, this is actually very nice that this happened, because what do you do up there? You know, what do DJs actually do? And it's like, well, look at Grimes. We do more than if you just press play. That's what happens. So we do way more.
We actually do something.
Yeah, but the tragedy is beat mixing is not that hard. That's the sad thing about it. And if you don't even know how to beat mix, yeah, it's just what are you doing on that stage a little bit, but that's also up to the
but it's also order. Nowadays, I mean,
you got booked,
when me and Marlon we started out, it was we were still in high school or something, I don't know what, but we didn't even have money to buy all the gear. We bought one which was the Technics, the how do you call it,
SL 1200.
Final, yeah, which you play the big round plate.
Vinyl.
That's the English word. I
big
can't
round plate.
Yeah. And we had one vinyl at the CDJ, not the CDJ, the Technics. We had a mixer, a simple one, and we mixed to our iPod, which we just had. We couldn't afford the second Technics, so we were mixing to the iPod continuously back and forth, But also with the technics, you had to either twist the button in the middle or have it slow down a little bit. You could really, plus the things weren't, they were crooked sometimes also. So it was a continuous adjusting of the tempo. That's how you learn. And nowadays, I see kids of 12, they have the coolest setup. And they just skip the basics, basically.
But the whole beat syncing thing is not even relevant anymore, right? Because software is doing it for you.
Yeah, but they just look at the BPM on the, they don't know what they hear. And I gotta admit, man, sometimes I go like, oh, this is definitely 140, and then it's 150, you know. So you can miss a tempo here or there, but you gotta know, okay, what do I do? When do I slow it down? When do I have to speed it up? You gotta know what you're doing actually, and a little bit where it comes from, and not just look at this. Oh, this is 130. This is 130. Press play. Yeah, that's too easy.
Train your ears.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering, like, if it was like a software malfunction, I would say, okay, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, shit fucks up.
This is that's the thing. It is a software malfunction, but you can do something about it, and that's mixed by ear. And yes,
but you can't fix it in like a second, right?
You do. Yeah, you do. Yeah? Literally. Load up the tracks new. That's why I say, where is the stage manager? Where is someone that got through, hey, stop screaming through the mic. Someone from our team said, hey, relax.
Oh, man.
Let's take five. Reset your CDJs, you know. Stop using that thing button because that's when it went wrong. And she was like, that's how she went on Coachella. And like, really awkward. And then she says, oh, it's really complex technology. No, it's not. It's not that complicated, especially if you have DJed before. It's like, it's just a bit sad. But then again, this is also kind of, what you get if promoters book someone that apparently doesn't really know their craft. Then yeah, this can happen, and that's also kind of funny in a way, you know. I also see online the argument like, promoters should book. Leave these spots for the talented people. I want to say to the people who say that, you don't know how this industry works, because promoters don't care about talent. They care about making money.
You should listen to the Artist Coaching Podcast, where we discuss these topics.
It's not about money only. I mean, they have their risk.
Well, no, but it's a big part. Money's a big part, of course. And like status and connections. And...
Well, you only have so much spots for, I mean... Of course, Tiesto sells more tickets than Bass Jackers. We understand.
Really?
That's why he gets more, apparently. But no, that's why he gets more spots. I get it. That's why we're having the best time slots. Yeah, I totally get that. You also want to deliver, and you have only so much spots to... It's like us also. You cannot do your own shit the whole time. I mean, you got to... compromise. And I mean, one, there are festivals who compromise less than others, but I mean, hey, it's a tricky business. If you have to pump in all your money, make a lot of debt, and if it's raining that day, then you're basically fucked, man.
And even in the Netherlands, after COVID, you're not even insured for those things.
True.
Like before COVID, you were insured for like nature things, but after COVID, they took out the whole clause for disasters, let's say.
But COVID showed us the Dutch government doesn't care at all about the dance music industry.
I just wanted to get that out there.
But it's true. Like as soon as festivals were allowed again, even the minister who had no place saying that said like, to the organizers, please don't organize dance events. Like, based on jurisdiction, right. Based on no laws, it was so weird.
That was Hugo de Jonge.
Yes,
and man, the guy is fucking.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter who it is. But that he shows the main opinion of the government on dance music. It's still this. They don't care.
Let's steer away from
the whole government. Go like, oh no, Hugo. I don't know what he has on the rest of the whole cabinet, but he must have something to do.
He's now doing housing, so I don't know how you can go from.
I just read this morning about the housing. The dude does everything wrong. It's insane. It's almost, I respect it. How bad he does.
Track record. Yeah.
Four.
Anyway, guys, let's steer away from that. Have you read about the fact that Taylor Swift is back on TikTok with her music?
I saw a TikTok about it.
I haven't seen it or no.
Seriously, I saw a TikTok about it
a few months ago, but I just tried to Google it and I noticed it's happened multiple times actually. That she pulled away her music from Spotify and from TikTok because she thought the rights weren't like, or the payouts weren't like decent enough, fair enough.
Well, what I wonder if it's really her or just some manager who thinks.
Yeah. Scooter Braun, who has their other masters.
Well, what's mostly important.
Kind of done, right? Or not?
Maybe he owns her old masters.
Oh, yeah, there's something about that, yeah.
Well, the fun thing is. Her new album just dropped. Is it out already?
I think Taylor Swift's always funny because us songwriters and singers, we don't get paid enough. And in the meantime, she just became a billionaire, I think.
Well, what I think is kind of a funny coincidence is that her album is dropping tomorrow. Oh, no, in 2 days. And we all know TikTok is kind of responsible for a lot of viral shares of music, you know, like it really helps to get your music out there if your music can be put under content. So it's kind of a coincidence to me that 2 days before her album drop and her tour is also at this moment, like, it's all fine, let's go, I don't care.
That's how the world works, eh? It's publicists.
Yep.
Yeah, she's a good team. I respect her a lot.
Me too.
Except she cries about the pay is not enough and she's becoming a billionaire, you know.
Well, it's nice that we have something that big speaking out, yeah.
True.
Yeah, but I don't think it doesn't.
Of course, kind of a hypocrite or something, but yeah, why not? Hey, if we do it, doesn't make as much impact, I think.
No one cares.
No, well, not no one. Am I being a little bit fuzzy here?
That doesn't work. I tried that last time.
And it worked perfectly. Look at me.
I still see 6 pixels.
Hey, and another thing I noticed is, did you guys see the... I hear a lot of people talking about James Hype. That's probably about his because of his content. But did you see that he took his fans on a private jet?
I did not see that.
Let me check it. I saw a video of
him. I do follow the guy. I actually like his content.
I think it's this. Yeah, here. Sharing this experience with people is we brought fans on a private jet to both of our house shows in Cali this weekend. I will definitely plan to do this again. So he just kind of randomly called fans and say, hey, you are invited to join me on a private jet and then fly to 2 shows.
That's pretty cool.
Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Pretty cool.
Thumbs
up. Is that something you would say becomes like a normal thing?
No, I think I respect him for doing that because he and his touring schedule don't allow for any like extras basically. So any little extra thing is a lot of hard work, especially if you need to like take your rest in between shows. And he's like, okay, I'm bringing some fans who I know is going to be a lot of talking and work. And so I respect that a lot. I don't see that becoming the norm. So I think it's, respect for James Hype.
I think we talked about it last time, like the fan relationship is getting more and more important. And I think this is one of those examples, you know, investing into deeper.
And James Hype, I mean, I really like how he presents himself online. Of course, sometimes a little bit over the top, but he really masters his craft. He gives us... he lets us himself seeing. He shows himself working in the studio. That's what I wanted to say. I mean, you see him doing all the stuff behind the decks, and of course, it's a little bit of showmanship. And some people are thinking like, "Okay, you're a bit exaggerating." But I really like it. I think he's one of the few that really understand what to do with socials. It's really entertaining. It's fun to watch. And him doing this kind of stuff, also like him talking, saying where tracks came from, how they went down with all the clearance. He was. Did we talk about that tool he used for his vocals also, the AI tool? which is insane. Royalty free.
Which one?
Dude, yeah, wait, I have it bookmarked here. And
Solo
on the glasses. Audime, I don't know what it's pronounced as, but it's really cool. You can load up, well, actually borderline illegal what he did. He has this track with old Jodeci vocals. So what he did, he uploaded the Jodeci vocals, then picked another voice, and AI made it the other voice. But still, it has then the characteristics of being sung as Jodeci. So if you ask me, that's borderline illegal. But, hey, I'm not sure if anybody of Jodeci's team is aware of this and makes something out of it.
Yeah, they are.
Not, well, they could be. And then still it's up for debate. Is that Jodeci's voice or not? Because it's not
kind
the
of a
voice.
Cover, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, they still use him singing, you know? It's not that he...
Yeah, but if you would... Like, you have those singers who sound quite the same as the original. Like, it's almost in this...
And then it's sung by somebody else. That's the whole point. This is sung by Jodeci himself.
But it's about the end result, right? It shouldn't sound...
Hey, it sounds like Jodeci also, but it's a different voice. But it's a cool tool, and you can use it. You can also, hey, if you know somebody who sings, make them sing it, load it in, and you can choose all these things. You can even rap yourself. We tried it. It's a cool tool.
What was that tool?
Audime, AUDYMEE.
Audime.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Convert your vocals using royalty-free voices. Okay.
Royalty-free, bitches. That's what you want.
I like free.
Yeah. Yeah, you better pay a little bit because you're limited when you do the free plan.
Right. Is it
he shows all the shit on his socials, and he actually really gives us a look into what he does, and being an artist, being good at behind the decks, being good at behind the studio. He really shows what he does, and I like it.
Okay, just quick thought here. I think James Hype is an investor, but that's about it.
Could be. I don't care. Invested in the good shit. Good one, James.
Okay, so for the listeners, Audime, check it out. Unlimited vocals, creative freedom. Let's go. Cool. Those were the things I...
Yeah, how did we get there? James Hype.
Yeah.
What?
We always also say Ons James. Ons James.
Ons James?
I don't know.
Ons James. Did you guys have any stuff you wanted to discuss? Otherwise, I'm going to the community questions.
Community questions it is.
Which were a lot, by the way.
Yes, let's go.
Like the longer we keep doing this, the more questions come in.
I feel like the weekly stuff is starting to pay off, and it's awesome. So if you're here listening, thank you. Send your demo to Basehackers.
Yeah,
well,
please.
It is fun, though, because I always talk about like the compound effect in putting in effort. You know, like if you release a track every month, if you sit down and make music for 1 hour a day, like the compound effect of those small investments become really big.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's the same with this, you know, like if you do a podcast every week, eventually it will start to get traction and it will start to build.
Are we big now?
Not yet.
Internationally known for his podcast, Ralph Van Hilst.
Ralph Van Hilst for his smart, for his bombs. For
it
his...
would be cool to eventually have like our own podcast studio, and that it actually like pays money, so it like it's worthwhile going to that studio, and then we hang
around.
Never
see you guys in real life.
No,
never anymore.
Oh.
We only have a
we were actually planning that, and then you guys bailed on me.
No, I didn't bail. It was Joey.
True.
We have to reschedule,
Mr. Director.
Yeah.
Which
there will be a live or like a real live podcast. It's going to be awesome.
A real live podcast. Yeah. We're definitely going to schedule that. In the meantime, I'm just going to drop in the Discord.
Discord.
Arime.
Arime. Okay. First question that came in from Harry. And that was Pierre.
Hey, yo.
Harry.
Shout out.
Hey, Harry de Hengst.
Harry the Stud. But just out of interest, which track is your favorite right now, EDM or non-EDM?
Yeah.
Tough question. I really liked when Artemas came to the top of the charts.
Artemas?
Like the way you kiss me.
Oh, you talked about it last time.
Yeah, we did a cool remix. You can download it from our SoundCloud. Even Armin van Buuren just played it on his Asia tour. And it's been an... Oh. It's gaining support everywhere.
Is it?
Nice, but nice. Cool. Save it's the cool back.
Yeah. Are you listening cool to me?
I
just made an Eggboy song last week.
Eggboy.
Eggboy is my lo-fi profile, I guess. Go check it out on Spotify.
Aren't you worried that AI will kill your Eggboy project?
No. Because I don't do it to like gain anything. I just like making it, especially in between like dance. I love just messing around, making a bass line, making chords on a piano, and it just really takes my mind off anything, and I just then make a finished song, which I can, not to brag, but I can do that within half a day, just for fun, and then I just release it under Eggboy, people to hear. And yeah, AI with lo-fi is definitely coming in and like probably going to destroy some people whose livelihood is dependent on it, but mine isn't. So yeah, I don't, okay. I'm not too worried.
Okay.
But in general with music, I think that's also an interesting thing. Like, will we be replaced, you know, music producers? I think
no. I think,
yeah, but like if you're talking about like in 50 years, for example,
I think a lot of music might be like, let's say, done by AI. So elevator music, background music, royalty free music, advertisement music, like all those things is much easier and cheaper to do those things through AI. And no one would care because it's just background music, you know,
yeah.
Like in a bar, in a restaurant, those type of things. But when it comes down to festivals, artists, in my opinion, at least in, let's say, the upcoming 20, 30 years, I do believe that we appreciate the skill, the human side of things, the connection you can have with an artist.
I think Grimes' set would have been better if it was done by AI, but that's a different discussion.
Would have been better when it was done with a thumbless dog. Oh man, it was so bad. Man.
Okay. Next up is from Felix. Let's say I have a new track and I send it to 10 record labels, and after 2 weeks, none of them get back to me. Should I self release it?
Should I what?
Always self release. No question there. Self releasing is healthy.
Should always get other opinions on it, because it could also just suck. Yeah,
he's also saying, or should I try again, maybe to other labels or artists?
Oh, you should always.
This is the thing.
Labels, other artists, yeah, definitely.
I've been saying for years, and I don't know if people, because this question keeps coming up a lot. I've been saying for years, it's very important to build around you some other producers that are not labels that you can send your music to, that you can just like ask like, hey, what do you think of this? Because if then three of them say, oh, this is really good, then you have like a better understanding, or is it actually good, or do I just like it? So that's maybe way more important than sending it out to many labels. But yeah, also just focus on more tracks at a time. Like if you send it out to labels in those 2 weeks, I hope you're working on another track, you know, like keep making tracks. There will be one that will catch some attention somewhere, and if not, you gotta go to the next track anyway. So don't put all your things in one basket, or
eggs.
All your eggs in one basket.
Eggs, you egg.
For your tracks.
Don't put all your balls in one underwear.
Egg boy.
Yeah. Now, the main question he is wondering is like, when do you decide to self-release a track? So at which point after sending to him how many labels or...
Please first find somebody who is not related to you or sugarcoating it that actually also likes it. You got to get some confirmation from outside.
Who's that for you?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
My mother. No.
She has a worse state.
No, if it's not being played by other DJs, that's for me always like, okay, maybe it just sucks. If nobody wants to play it, yeah.
I'm leaving for 1 second.
Bye, Jopke. Yeah, your contribution has been really state of the art.
Thank you.
No, yeah. Depends. I mean, we're working here mostly with Marlon and also Rens is here in the studio. So sometimes, it's enough for two people to like it and then send it to other DJs or a label. Yeah, we have multiple people. We have, of course, a management team, which some people to listen. And we're really honest. If we don't like it, yeah, then we say it also.
Other DJs also very important. If you don't have a chance to play yourself, because that's usually also very much a good thing to listen to your track. Like, hey, I like the mix or I like the response of the crowd. But if you don't have any gigs, send it to other DJs that do have gigs, even if it's a birthday, even if it's like I did that in my hometown Drunen. I would send my track to the local DJ who I knew. And for me, he then played it in the heart of Drunen. That was the bar. And for me, that was like, wow, he played it. And I was there with my friends like, wow, this is my song. It was the biggest thing ever. But also then you could get some feedback from him like, yeah, this was cool or it was shit. You get some kind of an idea of what other people think of it. And I think in dance music, you do need that.
Yeah, you need crowd feedback.
Yeah,
true. Okay, question to Ralph from him.
Did we answer the question though? Because when will you then decide to go over to self-release?
Yeah, if you get some confirmation that people like it, you or your family, then.
Yeah.
Thank You is a track of yours, I guess.
Yeah, we co-produced it.
Okay, thank you. He says, I noticed he's credited, but his name isn't on the record. Considering he wants to play at Ultra and such records could really push him into the mix, was it a label or financial decision not to include his name? Why not insist on having his name on the track?
Yeah, that track, we've been asked to produce on it because of a certain sound we do.
Which track is that, by the way? From who?
Thank You, Not So Bad. Tiesto, Dido.
Oh.
Dimitri Vegas, Like Mike.
You co-produced. Nice.
It has a measly 120 million plays.
Dude, but it's so good live. It's not my so fun. Good.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, the story was that at first it was an idea by Dimitri. And at first, Wacht of W&W produced a version, but that really didn't work well. And we did another track with Dimitri, and then he said to us, like, maybe it's a good idea to incorporate what you did there into this. So it was really good A&Ring of Dimitri as well. And then we fully made the track, and... yeah, we mastered it as well. So, yeah. So, to be honest, it was never our track to begin with. I mean, the idea, it's all based on Arcade by Willem and Wacht and Dimitri Vegas Like Mike. And, and of course, Dido, she did a biggie.
I just listened to the song and I was like, ah, oh, this one.
Yeah. No, so it was a really good A&Ring of Dimitri. And I got to say... in terms of being an A&R, he's one of the best around. He can really hear possibilities and that shit. So, no, we've been asked to produce it, and we did. And also cool to say is that it went out to different mastering guys, and eventually they chose our version because they liked it the best, which, of course, for me is a proud moment. competitive as I am. And now I'm really proud that we co-produced it. Yeah. So, but to say we had any, apart from producing some parts, it was not really creatively our track to begin with.
Okay.
Hey, and when you have Tiesto, Dimitri Vegas like Mike, W&W, Dido, there's no room for bass checkers. But who knows in the future? It really opens up some
bass checkers.
Yeah, I'm really glad checkers, that we got asked to do something for it. For us, it's a big chance.
Bass checkers, this wasn't a thank you, this was a no thanks.
But in the end, it was not so bad.
Oh!
Ding, ding,
hey!
Okay,
whoever
question
came up
two.
With that, he doesn't get any, or she gets doesn't get royalties for...
Not true.
Well, maybe he does.
Maybe Shitty he does. Deal. Maybe he or she's filthy rich right now.
Yeah, I hope so.
Question to Jopke from King Cole. I watched one of Jay's masterclasses on YouTube. Only one.
One.
There's a lot more. Where he showed earlier versions of his tracks, many of which sounded very different from the final release. I also watched another masterclass where he produced his track Solid, and the first version sounded very similar to the final one. If you had to guess, what percentage of tracks come together quickly and what percent go to multiple versions?
Probably like 80%, I think you really work around different ideas, maybe for a drop. Before you get like the idea that's the one. I think that happened more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And then that 20% is like you kind of have an idea or you have a melody that also really works well as a drop. And then it kind of works as a drop because sometimes you have like a, this is for, I know, for example, Martin Garrix with Animals. He has this thing in the build-up that goes like...
That was
one of the first versions, was the drop. And then he remade it later into that, the drop we all know now. That's because then you have a melody. Oh, we have that melody. I'm going to use it in a drop. And then it's kind of like, it works, but what can be better? I think that happens more often.
We're live, huh?
Hey,
how is that possible?
Where are we live? Instagram.
I guess on YouTube. Wait, let me check. Something.
That's not so bad, right?
No, it's not
bad. It's not so bad.
I did an act.
Not so bad.
We're live. What the fuck?
Huh?
And then it turns out millions of viewers because we were talking about Grimes.
Wait,
that's also what annoys me a little bit. There's a lot of hype about Grimes. There's also a lot of people jumping on the Grimes bandwagon that know they'll make a post about Grimes, they will go viral, and that's the only reason they do it.
I was just thinking, like, I want to make a post out of this, but nah.
I'm going to post right now.
Grimes. Yeah. Grimes. I think let's say 80-20. Maybe even 90-10. I don't know. It's just like a lot of times where you have a certain synth, different melodies, you try different bass grooves. If it's a melodic drop, you try different kicks, you try different bass, you try
I'm really trying a lot of I never used to, or never, almost never changed my kick in a later process, but I do it a lot now. It's insane. But
why?
I sometimes
that?
When I'm working on another track, I revisit one that I did before because I think, oh, this kick might also work there, and then it does wonders. But I never think... kicks changed, of course, with the whole techno bandwagon.
But did this already happen like years ago? I think it was Hartwell who also changed kicks during his production. But to me, it was always like something you just don't do or something. Like the whole track.
Was he also the highly skilled DJ that changed BPMs during his set?
Who?
Hardwell. Because that's now, like, that's so difficult. You can see, look at Grimes.
Look at Grimes, man.
No, I'm not sure if you were making a joke or not.
It was a joke. It was a very bad joke.
Okay.
Since we're live, my humor went down.
Yeah. But it's so smart, we just don't understand.
Probably that.
Yeah.
Another question from Abstracto. How would you suggest finding your signature sound?
Asking how a clock works, huh?
I don't think you find your signature sound, you know? You just make whatever you want to make and that's your signature sound.
I think so too.
It finds you. That's the right answer.
Oh, it finds you.
The way how I look at it is music production is just a combination of a lot of decisions, like a lot of small decisions. You know, this hi-hat, that hi-hat, this reverb, that reverb, this tail, that, like, it's all those small decisions who eventually lead up to your sound, I would say.
Yeah, but getting this sound, it's kind of coincidence as well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Afrojack did have it, Bingo Players, or later Brooks, or... There are these guys that have their signature sound, Garrix and or Geta now with the Future Rave stuff. But it's something you just kind of stumble upon.
Yeah. I think there's very few artists who get lucky, or it's not luck, but I mean, like, Kygo, for example, had these this kind of plucky sound, which was his sound.
Yeah.
It's very lucky to have an actual sound, like one synth sound that people can remember. That's like really, that's lucky. And that's what you got to stumble upon that.
Yeah, it's nice. You can do a few tracks with that stuff. We had it with Savior. What were the others called? Man, I don't even know the names anymore.
Derp.
Derp. Yeah, well, it was kind of that period, like that. The one we did with Afrojack, This Is What We Live For, and Mariachi was awesome. That was actually a remix for Steve Aoki that didn't get approved. And then you made that awesome break.
And I was like, I'll make a break so I can play that drop as my track.
Yeah. I really liked it. It was being played in a lot of those, kroegen, bars, you know?
Yeah. Good production tip is, like, I'm not the best at making good drops or, like, drops like that, high-energy club drops. So you got to collab with people who can. And then if you make good melodies that fit seamlessly to that.
Musical. So here sits somebody next to me.
I'm not next to me. Joey's next to me.
Fusion.
Ah. This guy.
Nice.
You're sitting on top of me.
Fusion.
That sounds also funny. You're sitting on top of me.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey.
Are we fans again? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Question from Alice Prime. Do you have any tips to increase Spotify streams? It's all about playlists, or are there any other things that make a difference?
Press play all day long. Repeat.
I don't think so.
Man, that's the hardest thing, eh? You want to, I mean, there's like ads you can run and all that shit.
Focus on your strength. if a label is good at getting playlists, try to sign on that label. It's find people who know how to do that.
Exclusives are not always the key, you know. Sometimes I see tracks that do really well on TikTok and they don't do shit on Spotify. I think for everybody who wants more plays, that's the game. That's the whole game we're all busy with. And nobody has this like one answer. Of course, when you go viral, you have more chance of it doing well on Spotify as well. But yeah. And then we all know the strategies that can work, but will they work for you? Do they suit you? Good luck with that.
Yeah, I think it's what you said. Like, there's multiple things you should do at the same time. And maybe one of them might perform better than the one, but it's not just like do playlisting and that's it, you know? It's more, way more. And on Spotify, I don't think you have many more options.
But it's also about investing, and usually that's the label they play. If they pay the people that pitch it to the curators in all the different territories, and how many ads are you going to run? They want to know that, because for Spotify that's important. That gives traffic towards Spotify. That's also one thing.
And how do they know that? Like, do you talk to a person there?
That's,
like,
that's all in the pitch.
Let's say a label.
A label would maybe know someone within Spotify directly.
Yeah,
or if the label pitches your track, the Spotify is more like, oh wait, that label presents your track, it must be good, so we will put it in some playlists. That's what I at least do. I try to release with big labels and let them sort that out for me, because I'm just also very bored of that. But you still want good numbers, so you want to. That's why I work with labels, you know.
Can also debate, is Spotify the platform I'm focusing on? Maybe it could also be a strategy to not focus on Spotify. It just comes as it comes. And you can either better invest or aim towards getting more. And then I'm more on Joey's tour, getting people to really like you as an artist and become fans and have them share your shit. And that's more makeable than Spotify, because with Spotify, there's external gatekeepers that you don't control, but you do control what you do for your fans and bond with them. So if you're beginning, I think that's a better focus point than per se than increasing your Spotify plays.
There's
Does that make sense? Or
sentence in there. It's quite difficult because you say getting people to like you, but I think that's very difficult, because I think, yeah, you can try to get people to like you, change your style, because that's, but like, try to be real.
I should have said getting to know you and then decide if they like you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it's semantics, man. Come on.
Potato, potato.
Potato, potato. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. First, I heard it. I was like, this is so cheesy. But then I played it. I played it live. And it's like, it's such a fun track to play out live, because it's like, it starts with that melody. That, and it, people are like, hey, I know this melody. Oh, yeah, what's this song again? And they just sing along and then they rave. And then the second break comes.
For your set.
And then the break comes and people are like, hey, this is that song by Eminem.
It's usually Eminem, yeah.
By Eminem, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so it's okay. Awesome.
Another question from Josh.
Letizier
is back in the chat.
Always.
Do you guys have any advice for getting a US visa for shows? Is there agency that Jobke or Marlon can recommend, maybe?
Dude, you gotta pay
money.
I told him already. It's an expensive
lawyers.
It's expensive.
You need,
it's a long process.
You need an agent in the US.
No, you need an agent in the US. Start with that, and they know how to do it.
Because you also
recommendation letters.
Yeah, because also usually to apply, you need to have a tour scheduled, or at least like, hey, these venues are planning to book you, so you need to show that. Then you need to show like evidence that you're an established artist. So keep all your this is actually a good tip, keep all your posters, all your news articles about you, so that you can present to the embassy, hey, this is the story. And the lawyers, you need lawyers from the US who will cost like around 10k or more.
Less.
No, it's 10k these days.
No. We had one, we applied for, I think, maybe 4,500 euros, and then we had to go make it faster because of a show, and then we had to pay another additional 2,500. So approximately 7,000, but that was because we want to have the fast track.
Faster, okay.
I think
you've been, again, conned.
I think
this was years ago, because I don't have a visa now.
I've paid about, I think, 3,500 about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, let's say 5,000, you'll be fine.
I did hear it became a lot more expensive, but what's his question more about is, is there like an agency you can help you with this process? Because it's a complicated process.
Bookings agencies.
Like middlemen? Are there like middlemen that can help you with this?
Yeah, you should have an agency.
an agency, because for an artist it's more difficult, and it's not just work.
I think also, you know, an American special... has to be on the same thing. Yeah. I mean, for us, they always get, we're with UTA, and they always apply for us, and then it gets handled from there. Because their name as an agency is also on our visum. Yeah. Although I don't have a visum anymore, it's only more.
You need to have an employer in the States who kind of vouch for you.
Okay. Well, there could also be a promoter. But you do have like these Visum Plus in Holland. It's a big Visum thing. They probably know their shit.
Visum Plus,
yeah.
But yeah, as an artist, probably best to contact agencies.
Yeah, but if it's a promoter who has multiple clubs, that also could work. Yeah.
Well, I do know that he has a gig planned in the States, and that's why he's asking.
Which venue?
Because I mentioned to him, like, be aware of the fact that you need a visa, because I got sent back once.
Yeah, and you can also get banned.
Oh, yeah. La Firebeats also. I was supposed to send next to them from Atlanta to Miami, and then all of a sudden this weird guy came. I'm like, you're
We flew together, and then at New York, where the transit was, we kind of got taken out and sent back.
Were you with Firebeats then?
Yeah, same flight.
Oh, all of you. I was with you then, because I still remember.
Yeah, same flight. And I think Martin Garrix was on that flight. Watson was on that flight. Kenneth, yeah. So a whole one flight. If that flight went down, we had a problem with
the best year ever.
Must be. But it also depends what country you're applying from. But that's just politics, because some countries make it easier for you to get a visa. Yeah. Sometimes it's difficult.
European countries overall. Guernsey. Do you know what it is?
Oh, Guernsey. Hey, good tax stuff.
Exactly. Tax haven.
Man, he must be rich. shit.
Yeah. Anyway,
he's like listening to this, like, oh, only 5K, only nothing. Change.
Not some spare change right here.
Yeah. Okay, those were the community questions. To anyone who wants to send in a question as well, make sure to join the Artist Coaching Discord. The link is in our Instagram bio, and otherwise you can find it underneath the YouTube live stream or the podcast episode.
We hang out there every day.
Every day.
Every day we're live on the Discord.
No, not live, but I'm there every day. Like, I'm just there answering questions and participating with the people, you know, like just mixing, mangling. It's what I do.
To the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to connect more with my fans, like James Hype does, but I don't have a private jet, so I can't, like, you know.
Start with the in my, what's it called? The Buckfeet.
The Buckfeet, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
Through the rain.
Good one.
Good.
Man, this weather is reminding me of ADE right now. It's like cold and rainy here.
It's not so bad.
Yeah, okay. Guys, that's it for this week. Thanks again. We will be back next week again. And
we want to thank you for listening. We want to thank you for listening to my new music out now.
www.basscheckers.com. It's all you need.
And then the disclaimer, like the fast thing at the end, like all prices. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, also at the
financial place.
In San Andreas.
Yeah.
In San Andreas. Lots of limbs is not covered by the.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Adios.